You're listening to Tucson Business Radio X. And now with Josh Gruber, here's Weeding Out Business, a program that tells it like it is. If you want to be successful on Business Radio X, here's Josh.
Good afternoon. Josh here, Poppy Yard Solutions. Episode 6 here of Weeding Out Business. Tucson, Arizona at the Stewart Title Office on Broadway in Alvernon. We have a great show today. Two guests, one of them is one of my best friends, Tyler Lopez, and another guy by the name of Anthony, is it pronounced Amix?
Close enough, brother. Amix, yeah.
Amix. He's both of these guys are coaches in their own regard. Tyler's a realtor and also an investor and a coach, and AJ is, I believe you're a coach full time, right, AJ?
Yeah, dude.
You go by AJ still?
My wife and I do a little bit. My wife and I do a little bit of real estate investing as well. But yeah, I coach full time.
Awesome. We'll start with you, AJ. Thanks for coming on. And you know, this is a first for the show to have somebody in a different state. You know, the goal for me when I started this was to connect with people that could, you know, be an influence of business for my company, Poppy Art Solutions, landscaping and weed control. You know, but also in the long run to, you know, maybe get the word out there that we want to franchise, and if somebody wants to kind of, you know, tie into our push button system of Poppy Yard Solutions, we want to let them know that they can do that. And you know,
awesome.
That you know, that would be obviously the top notch, you know, reward of having you on the show. But you know, obviously we want to hear about what you have going on. We've been Facebook friends for, you know, 5 years probably. You know, connected on a you know, opportunity that I was participating in, and you know, led us to meeting, and which I, you know, respect you and have watched your story kind of unfold. And you know, I know Tyler would probably, you know, obviously get a little bit of value out of what you have going on. So tell us about yourself,
dude. Where would you like to start? That is the question.
So, what did you do before you were a coach? Where did the fire come from?
And before I was a coach, dude, I was in music. I was in a Christian rock band, and we toured pretty much from here to Chicago to Nashville, Tennessee. It was kind of a little triangle that we toured. So we grew that thing from playing into a garage to be able to get record deals, have a 38-foot tour bus. Built all that up until October 2009 was the last show that we played. Burnt that to the ground because I had zero leadership skills. I mean, I had leadership skills, but it was tyrannical. Burnt my relationships to the ground and lost pretty much everything but my health between October of 2009 and March of 2010. And then I had to ask some deep questions of like, why the fuck am I here? What do I want to create? What do I want to do? And that led me into the game of social media marketing, built an agency, grew it to where I had 23 clients, burnt out doing that and got bored and hired my first mentor in 2012, which was Garrett J. White, who runs Wake Up Warrior. And Garrett was like, bro, do you ever think about teaching? And I was like, no. And it sounds like a lot of fun. And so 2012, I started packaging up what I have experimented with, experienced in the trenches, and started teaching, and haven't looked back since that. And that led me ultimately to the game of coaching and helping people today.
Yeah, that's interesting, Garrett. Yep, I know Garrett J. White through social media, and it's pretty cool to see that you and him obviously have some kind of connection. He's doing humongous things in the, you know, obviously he's has a training leadership system that he promotes, and it does pretty well from what I see.
For sure. Yeah. For the men who like the warrior stuff and getting yelled at and that whole thing, it's works great for them.
Yep. Very cool. So where do you live now? Are you married? You have kids?
Yeah, man, I'm married, live here in Dallas, Texas. We own a couple properties here, one in Denver, and we just had our first child, probably our only child. She's just a month old. She turned a month old yesterday, actually. So, yeah, man, that's where we're at here in Dallas.
Very cool, man. My buddy here, Tyler, like I said at the beginning, him and I went to elementary school together. You know, coach of mine, mentor. Obviously, I look up to everything he's been doing, you know, in the real estate, just in the business world. It's pretty, you know, cool to see somebody that you know you know, kind of have such a good hang on things and can provide so much value to other people as they start to get in this journey. Tell us about yourself, Tyler.
Yeah, first I want to say this is so cool that you're even allowed to do a podcast or like, even being on the radio, just being here and seeing how much you've grown. Like, we've known each other for so long that I never thought when we were, you know, 8 or 9 years old that we'd be in a room doing this. So first off, I think it's really cool. I think the flip side of this is that for some of my story is, I mean, I was always in competitive sports. I always wanted to be really good at something. And I mean, that's transpired up until now that I always make jokes that I know a whole lot about very little. And it happens to be real estate. And I've been able to kind of leverage everything that I learned through real estate. And fortunately for everybody else, unfortunately for me, that most of my coaching and training is based on my the best way to do everything wrong concept. So the people that I coach or people that I mentor or even that I reach out to, it really is based off somebody's got to have an extra drive. And the thing that you and I shared since we were little kids was like, we never, ever, ever wanted to just be normal. I never wanted to just fit in and be, you know, the 9 to 5. It just was never me. So you and I both never did it. I mean, we were bussing tables when we were little kids so that we could invest that $40 we made into something else. And it's crazy that, you know, to scale it up in our 30s now, where it's like, yeah, whatever money I make, it's only to make sure that I'm secure and not that I can look rich, that you can, you know, grow to be wealthy. And that's a lot of my coaching too, is through real estate. I mean, I run a bigger team, fired quite a few people fairly recently, and they're doing great. And every bit of stuff that I do within my team, when Josh wanted to start the landscaping company, I'm like, I will tell you every single way that I screwed up in the past. And I'm so proud of you, dude. You have not yet screwed up. And it's because you're on top of it. And neither you or I like to lose. And it sounds like AJ on the other line too has a lot of those same qualities. So, you know, it's not necessarily a rant about me, but now I'm still an investor, and that's a huge part of what I do. And real estate, obviously my full-time platform. I mean, that's how I leverage everything, what I do, into what I want. So we'll get into everything else you want to talk about, but yeah, I appreciate it.
Right. Yeah. You know, awesome. Obviously I think all three of us, you know, have some sort of coaching, you know, coaching talents within them. And, you know, AJ, obviously it's clearly you've learned how to monetize that. And, you know, I think that's one thing that's intriguing to me and Tyler probably as well, is, you know, how do you monetize your value? And, you know, what do you think has been your biggest, you know, the easiest, maybe not easiest, what's the best way to, you can explain how you got to, you know, that reputability from your peers, and, you know, how does that coaching, you know, how does the list of people you coach grow, and how does that, you know, happen?
Man, for me, it's been about really looking at asking myself a question, which is, what are the best results that I can get for people in the shortest amount of time? And who is that person? I mean, and so if I ask that question, it opened up to being like, man, this is exactly what I can do for somebody, and this is exactly who I can do it for. And so even to this day, we still ask that question every single year. And the people that I really get the best results for are people who are coaches, people who are experts in some given topic. Those are the people that I really, really, really love to work with, because I'm really good at helping them package up a product, position the offer, and then being able to sell that offer on a webinar really, really, really well. So I think that's been part of it. Then it's like, well, how do you get recognition? I think it's in any industry, especially in today's marketplace, becoming a content creator and shipping content every single day. You know, like this year, HubSpot named me part of the top 22 business coaches of 2018, fell in like number 9, blew my mind. I'm just like 8 spots down from Tony Robbins, Dan Sullivan, and I'm just like up there, you know, being like, according to HubSpot, ninth best business coach in the fucking world. And I didn't pay for that spot. I didn't ask for that spot. I didn't even honestly try to achieve that spot. There had been years prior what I would have set a target and said, I want to make that happen. A lot of, for me, has changed, where I've gotten to a place where I feel like I need nothing and deserve everything. And at the same time, I also feel like I have nothing to prove and nothing to defend. And so I'm able just to completely create content consistently, just solving people's problems. And sometimes it's a lot of the internal game and being willing to like be the person who's going to talk about uncomfortable subjects in a very direct manner, because that's my style. That's who I am. And if I stand in that, ship that consistently, then I build the audience, and then the clients are just a byproduct of that. That's been my experience.
Do you have to meet every one of your clients personally, or can you?
No.
You can, you know, get the reward of sale of service and them just get value from your videos and whatnot?
Yeah, for sure. So all of the coaching we do is virtual. Some people do fly in for what we call intensives. We'll spend a day or two with me here in Dallas. But yeah, most of it, dude. In 2009, in 2011, I asked myself a question, which was, how can I build a business where I can work from anywhere in the world from a laptop? And that question ultimately propelled me into the game of social media, which then transformed into coaching and consulting. And so everything I do, man, works from my laptop. My wife and I travel a whole lot. We'll be in Ireland this spring, and then we'll be in Europe for a year or so or longer come the summertime. So yeah, man, we can do it all from the comfort of our home, from a laptop.
That's awesome. So how do you measure your growth with your clients?
So we set targets in what we call Thrive 5, which is faith, family, fitness, finance, and fun. So how do we measure progress? I ask them, you know, what would be something you could accomplish in the next 30 days or 90 days that would expand your capacity and faith? It doesn't mean they have to believe in God or Allah or a Buddha or universe. It's whatever faith is for them. I always like thinking faith is how much trust and respect you have for yourself, how much confidence and certainty you have for yourself, and how do we expand that? Second piece is like their fitness and their family, set targets there. And then ultimately the game of finance and having fun is just setting targets. So for some of them, it's, hey, let me make $10,000 a month consistently. For other people, it's like, man, I want to go, you know, lock down another client who pays me 20 grand a month. You know, I want to get to 20,000 in reoccurring revenue. So it's just setting those targets. And once we set the targets, then it's just setting the strategy to make it a reality.
So one last quick question on this. What is what's your target customer list? Like, what's the good number? What's a win look like for you?
Like how much money are they making is a win, or
no? Like what's the number of people that you want? Like how many clients do you need to have to make things right?
I like working with no more than about 10 clients at a time, and then we run a quarterly event here in Dallas, and I don't like having more than 8 to 10 people at that event. So personally, I'm at a place where I like working with few clients and really going above and beyond to support them and really like be an integral part of their life.
That's cool. Tyler is part of a pretty intense training system, mentor system called The Core. He talks about it and you know, lives it and does it and promotes it to all of his realtors on his team and friends of ours in other industries where it can become valuable. Talk about that, Tyler.
Yeah, so it's really cool to hear the other side of coaching, because and that's why I was curious too. Like, what does a win look like for you, AJ? And that's really cool the way you explained it. So a win for me on my side is I'm part of the Core training, and it's really based on a lot of investors and people in real estate don't know how to run a business. They just get their license and they start selling and just assume they're making money. So a lot of our focus on and a lot of things that I talk to, really the 8 to 10 people, that seems like a pretty good number. It's really all based off, are you making the best use of your time? Are you treating your clients at the highest level? Are you saving money? And are you actually making money? And what I found out is a lot of people, no matter what they do and no matter what industry, they're always confused on the difference between net and gross. It almost never matters how much money you bring in. It matters how much you keep. So I know what a win looks like for me on that side. And normally our goal is 20% a year. Every year, year after year, we really want to see a 20% growth. And that's in leads, and that's in money saved, money given away, money made, and money kept. So they're two super, super different styles of training. But it sounds like AJ coaches on the hardest thing to coach, because you get so wrapped up in business and you get so excited about it and you forget to live a life. So it's really cool to see the other coaches like AJ, and that's why you're in the top 20, because what you coach is extremely hard, and it's extremely hard to find those people that are receptive to it. So I would say, honestly, like, let's take the last 25 people who I really thought I was making a good influence on and really making sure that they're having that positive growth. Maybe five of them, you being one of them, has actually been able to benefit from. So it's few and far between to be one of the people that actually gets it. And that's why one of our mantras in what we do is long to hire and quick to fire. It's really, really hard to build a solid base of people that are willing to do what they say they're going to do versus saying stuff for the sake of trying to impress somebody. And right. And I made a little note. I think you said just kind of selfless content, and that's really cool. It's, hey, this is what works for me. Whether or not it works for you, it's fine. You can have your own rendition rather than on my side. It's, hey, this is what works. Don't change it. Just do it. Do the work and you're going to get the results. Right. Versus on the other side of it, that's it. To me, it's almost impossible to coach. And that's why it's really hard to find people that I'm willing to spend time on, because I don't charge for any of it. It's more of like the giver's gain. Right. And you've heard me say it plenty of times that the more you give, the less you'll need. And I still believe that no matter what.
Right.
So that's really cool to hear AJ's side of that story. But, you know, I love the coaching aspect, and my coaches are really hard on me too. There's a whole lot that's expected of me, and it's really hard to stay in the program and stay motivated, because honestly, we all run our own business, and it's the easiest thing to say, yeah, you know what? I'll do that when I get around to it, versus I'll do that because it's my job.
Right.
And that's why it's that was one of my questions for AJ too, of how do you define, you know, your work hours, or, you know, when you're on or when you're off. And it doesn't sound like there is a line on whether or not he's working or not working. Same with me. I mean, I'm always on.
Right. Yeah. You got to always be on. We have a staff out 4 days a week on our business, AJ. That was one of the things when I first started, was, you know, how to create a culture, you know, where the staff, you know, makes A, enough money to pay their bills, and B, you know, doesn't feel that coming to work is a bad thing. So I figured having to work one more day than you have off would be a good thing to do. 4 days on, 3 days off, very few Fridays. And since we started the business in April, I think we've worked 4 Fridays. So we've been, pretty good in our practices to be able to have gotten where we are now with keeping those same, you know, values at the top of our list. When we first started this, you know, we kind of like thought of the thought of, you know, hey, AJ, you need a tree trimmed. Who are you going to have do it, right? Do you have an answer?
Dude, I don't, man. I don't have an answer for that.
Right. So we simply just want to make sure people have an answer. And through, you know, doing good work, telling, you know, the right people that can, you know, create us leads daily and throughout the year consistently, we've just been able to take that simple mindset and just really watch it grow. And, you know, through hiring solid people, you know, Tyler mentioned on, you know, when you train somebody or coach them, they've got to show up. You know, he didn't say those exact words, but they have to show up, and a lot of them don't. You know, Tyler's helped out a bunch of people, me including me, one of the people that, you know, would have made it so far. We kind of have a strict policy with our people that, you know, we want to make sure that we get the right people in here. You know, we have a drug testing policy, and we send them in, you know, we give them like a day and a half to go. And we've had people that just, you know, something came up, you know, we couldn't go, and we've stuck to our guns. And if you don't go, then awesome. You're not coming on, you know. And we've had to run a tight ship with, you know, a small amount of people some days, but we don't want to let that be the first, you know, their first thing to that could potentially become a habit, you know. Oh, well, it didn't matter that time. So, you know, let's try, you know, so it just can duplicate and snowball effect in a negative way. But yeah, man, when we first met, I was always in the golf course business. as an assistant superintendent and the superintendent of a, of one course in town, and always had an entrepreneur spirit, and you know, has really have really, you know, with the help and, you know, encouragement of Tyler here and, you know, a few other people, my wife including, have been able to just jump off of the going to work and simply just going to work every day and betting on myself. It's been pretty wild.
Awesome.
It's you know, you never would think that, you know, there could be over 75 landscaping companies and you could still succeed, you know. it's crazy.
Well, a lot of that is based off, Josh, so, you know, and we talk about it all the time. Do the right thing, do the best you can, and show people you care. And there's no way to lose if you do that.
Right.
I mean, there's just not. Nobody does that.
Right.
They all want to say it. And again, it's showing up and actually doing it and showing people rather than this is what I plan on doing. I mean, was it Eleanor Roosevelt? You can't build a reputation off what you're going to do.
Right. Yeah. Right. I heard the saying the other day. It's like, if you don't, if you're not making a dent on your goals, then you're a dreamer. Right. That's, you know, strong words, because you want to be a dreamer, but you got to be an action taker. What are some of the first, you know, if you get a new client, AJ, you know, like a little punch list of items for them to do for you, or, you know, how do you, what's a popular industry, you know, that people come to you from?
Yeah. The popular industry, man, is they're coaches or they're experts, usually marketers, social media marketers. I work with a lot of Forbes top social media influencers. So really the first thing, I know it's going to sound trivial, but it's, I'll ask somebody, what do they want? And they'll usually give me some bullshit answer, and I'll ask them directly, like, oh, what do you really want? And it's usually asking that question and holding space for that, and also listening between what they say, because sometimes people will say, well, I want this thing. And I'll be like, cool, I hear what you're saying is what you want. What do I feel from you is something different. And they're like, oh, you're so right. So most people don't really know what they want. They usually are basing a lot of what they want based upon what they believe they should want, or based upon something that they should have because their mother told them, or their father told them, or society told them they should want that. I had a client, he did $250,000, a little over quarter. I think we did close to $300,000 this year. Next year, we've already taken them to 400 in contract signs, should do about 600 next year, 600,000 in revenue, and was able to bring his wife home and only work like 2 weeks a month to be able to make that happen and increase his revenue. And so a lot of times with him, he'll be like, yeah, I think I want to do this thing. And I'm like, no, I don't think you actually want to do that, because here's what's required. And he's like, oh, you're right. I really don't want to do that. I think I'd rather just stay at home and read. And I'm like, perfect. So for some people, man, it's like, well, what is their target? Staying at home and reading because they want to study every day because they enjoy that, and holding them accountable to that and not allowing them to go do things that are going to occupy them just for the sake of doing them. You know what I mean? I know it sounds crazy and trivial, but you can make money. You can even make more money by doing less things if you get ridiculously clear on what you really, really want, not based upon what you should want or society tells you to do, but getting ridiculously clear upon what do you want, what expands your purpose every single day, and then taking a stand to figure out, well, how could that be possible? How could I make that happen? You know, and getting to a place of getting to life where you're like, man, how good can I stand it? Meaning, how much money could I make by living my ideal lifestyle? How could that be possible? How could that happen? And holding space for people and holding them accountable and helping them create the strategies to pull that off. That's the starting point that I work with all of my people at.
Very cool. I know there's one, you know, there's this thing out there, and I'm, you know, knowledgeable of it, not on it, called ClickFunnels. Are you benefiting from ClickFunnels at all, AJ?
Yeah, man, I use ClickFunnels for our funnels. I'm not like some crazy funnel hacker dude or affiliate of ClickFunnels, but yeah, we use ClickFunnels for building out our back end. Yeah, for sure.
ClickFunnels is nothing without content, right?
For sure. And even with content, if people don't do things with it and have a really good offer and have a way to speak to the specifics, it still doesn't mean anything.
Right. So I Google business coach, I get to your link, I click it, it leads me to your funnel, I enter my email, all that good stuff, and then I get a little message back some sort of way of intriguing me to get on a, you know, some sort of webinar with you. And then I get my credit card out and I make the purchase.
No, you hop on a phone call with me, and then if it's a good fit, then you pull out your credit card. If it's not a good fit, then I'll connect you with a book or somebody else.
That's cool, man. So my dream is to just, you know, play golf every day and just have hurting knees, but because I was golfing all day. How's that sound?
Dude, if that's what you like to do, figure out a way to make it happen. It sounds like you're on your way there, building the business that supports itself, provide you a little bit more free time and being able to play golf. So maybe a baby step for you is how many times you're playing golf on a weekly basis right now.
I would say 0.19.
Cool. Just asking the question, how can you make playing golf weekly mandatory, non-negotiable, line in the sand?
Treat my staff better and trust them more and you know, create that you know, minimal turnover. That way I can predict the following day and potentially set that up. And awesome. Then obviously, you know, close all leads, you know, with a sale, right? That would obviously make things a lot easier with projecting the following weeks to come. Because, you know, I think I've told everybody on the show, you know, landscaping, you know, opposed to say real, you know, buying a house, you know, landscaping isn't something you want to, like, you know, maybe like, yeah, like, you know, 3 weeks and, you know, that'd be great. You know, most people want it done like then, you know. So, you know, we get a lot of leads, we miss a lot of leads, we land, you know, close a lot of leads. But it's just, you know, one of those things where if I could somehow be scheduled 10 to 15 days out consistently, that'd be awesome. And then obviously, you know, hire the right people and enough people to handle that load of work, you know, and,
awesome.
and trust it, and then just, you know, keep being a good person, like Tyler and I always talk about, right? Just
beautiful.
Be a good person and use everything that we've ever learned from our dads, our coaches, our teachers, you know, whoever, and reflect on that, you know, have your personality be a direct reflection of that.
Awesome. Do you have numbers that you could work towards to make that happen?
A lot of our, you know, efforts in the following year, obviously with creating new business, is, you know, keeping in touch with our existing client base. And, you know, a lot of that is coming up because we have a, you know, one of our most encouraging services is the weed control service, which is 2 to 3 times a year, you know, so we want that reoccurring customer.
Sure.
And so, like, you know, a lot of those, it's every month now, since we've, you know, been going for more than 6 months, we typically, you know, technically can look back on the calendar and in our, you know, client list of people that were 6 months ago and reach out to them, and hopefully we've created a relationship with them that's so good that we just have to call and ask what day is good for them, Tuesday or Wednesday, you know. And and if they want to move on, then we want to thank them for their service and be, you know, be there for them if they would like to continue in the future.
Awesome. How could you take hope out of the equation and make it reality?
You stumped him.
I don't know.
Finding metrics is what I would say.
Say that again.
Yeah, you're totally right. Tyler's right on. It's all about metrics at this point for you, bro. You know your lead flow. You know how much you close. So it's all about setting a number of, like, cool, if I hit this number, how many leads would I need every month? Because if you know that, you know how much, what your close rate is, then it's pure mathematics, pure metrics.
Right.
And then you have numbers to know if we're winning or if we're losing. So if you hire somebody for marketing, you have metrics. You know if you win or if you lose. It's never a reflection of, like, personal value or worth. It's just knowing if you're winning the game or losing the game and being able to make those adjustments as fast as possible. So playing golf is not a dream that one day happens or we hope that it happens. We set metrics, we align with the truth, and we create a plan, and you make it happen. Like, period. That's how dreams are built. That's how empires are created. But most people don't want to get clear and align with the truth because it's not comfortable.
Right. Yep.
AJ, one of the things I was going to touch on is based a lot on what we're talking about here, is one of the things I love about all the coaches and everything that we all do. I mean, we work so hard, and one of the things I hear a lot is just to embrace the suck. Nobody loves what they do. A lot of people really, really, really appreciate and have a lot of fun doing it, but there's always a goal. It's like, hey, what am I going to do after I've done my job? And you have to know those metrics to know when you're done with your job. And one of the things that I know through talking to, I mean, hundreds of people a week is that everybody the majority of people that I've ever met know the price of everything, the value of nothing. So we have to prove that there's enough value in what we do that we're worth the price so that we can go and live our lives. And I think that's a cool concept to live by. And I think that's what you're touching on there, right, AJ?
Yeah, 100%. And the idea of embracing the suck, I think we embrace the suck for seasons. And once we can understand the metrics of the suck, then we can delegate the suck to somebody who actually, like, they love to do that.
Delegation is huge.
I'm part of a co-working facility here in Dallas, and they've been here about a year. They've been growing. They're doing amazing and become pretty good friends with the owner here, Tim Kell. And I asked Tim, I was like, dude, what's your goals for next year? And he's like, well, I want to get out of the day-to-day operations here at Communion and keep running the landscape business and all this other stuff they have going, and they're starting this accelerator for businesses. And he's like, it's kind of blowing my mind because there's people who love to maintain stuff. And I'm like, but you hate to maintain it, don't you? He's like, yes. And I feel guilty if I ask somebody to do maintaining tasks because I hate doing them. But I do them an injustice by not giving the people who are maintenance type people maintenance tasks. I'm like, dude, you're so right. Just because you hate it doesn't mean that they hate it. And it was like a big, big like aha for him where he's like, man, you're right. I just need to find people who love to maintain stuff and then delegate the maintenance tasks to those people, so I can stay in more of the strategy and visionary role. So I think it's the same thing for people like myself and Tyler and Josh here. It's actually us giving people gifts, delegating them tasks that we don't like to do. And just because we don't like to do certain things doesn't mean that they don't wake up every day loving to do those things and to find those people to bring on our teams to be able to do some of that. So that way we're not having to embrace the suck forever, because my experience with people and myself, personal experience of when I embrace suck forever, I get to a place where I resent my business, I resent the employees, and I want to pick up my laptop and I want to smash it and I want to burn the whole thing to the ground and then build something from ground zero again because I've embraced the suck for too long.
That sounded like it was real and like you've done it before.
a couple of times, actually. And so it's learning to embrace the suck or do what's required for a season, if that's required for you. And then finding how to delegate that out. Or if you have a team now, who can you delegate the tasks that you don't want to do? Who can you delegate that to now? So things are getting done, but it really does come back to aligning with the truth of what you want and what's required to get there, and then creating that strategy to make it happen.
Yep. I think with me, the big part of that is, you know, just treating my staff like, you know, just treating them like people and treating them well. That way, you know, the saying is what, train them so well they can leave, but treat them so well they won't. You know, how can I use that mindset and, you know, hope that, you know, take the word hope out of my vocabulary for one. I try to do that often, actually, AJ, is when I hear myself say hope, I'll just backtrack and just say the word again, you know, the statement again with another word.
Well, the good thing, Josh, is that's who you are as a person, not as a boss or an owner or a leader. That's just who you are. It comes natural to you. And that's the part that's really hard to train. That's what most people and most coaches have to spend their time doing. That's why you're easy to push, because you're willing to do what it takes. And I think it's a huge quality, man. You're born with that. So right. Don't lose that.
Thanks, man. How about you, AJ? This week's, December 13th, the end of the year.
Yeah.
Are you looking to pick up any more clients for the year? Or are you just game planning with some key people for, you know, a hot January?
Yeah. Last year we had a big marketing push, November, December. This year it's just in a different season of life. Like I said, we just had our first daughter. She's a month old on Wednesday. So this year has been more of a slow holiday season and really just wrapping up the year and taking it easy and then just looking at what we want to create and experience next year. So it's a very, very different season than I'm used to, just because I've never had a child before. So it's just a little bit different this year.
That's funny. You know, it's me too, man. I have a little boy, and he's going to be three this in January, and our daughter is, you know, 16 months or something. And, you know, last year I had a job, you know, this year I have a business, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, ask, you know, cause they don't know how new we are as a company or whatever. It's just maybe a typical question of, you know, well, what do you do when you get slow? You know, and it's like, I don't know, you know, I don't know what we would do. I hope that it never comes to that. But you know, what do you think, Tyler? What's something that somebody that's a realtor, obviously in your team, or what's something that they could do? I know we were talking a lot in the last couple of weeks about 2-minute drills. Touch on that.
One of the biggest things that I learned in the last really month, and it seems so simple, is the 2-minute rule. That your job is to fill your schedule. If there's white space on the schedule, you're out of business, and you got to make best use of your time. So when you're looking at this huge list of tasks that you have to do, if it takes less than 2 minutes, do it right now. Don't even wait a second. Just get on it right now. And if it takes more than 2 minutes to do, just put it in your schedule and make sure you're done. And it really makes you feel like you're really tied in your business, and you've got this really big weight off your shoulders, because it's not just lingering in your head of like, when am I going to do that? When am I going to do that? It's on your schedule. And as long as you can delegate your own time to yourself and be really good about just scheduling in general, because everyone's so scattered. And the 2-minute rule is really big on that, because now I've got a full schedule and I make the absolute 100% best use of my time, up to really like 5-minute increments. So yeah, the 2-minute rule is big on that. And I think everybody has something to learn with that for sure.
Yeah, the 2-minute drill, I like to call it like a lean, you know, lean strategy. I joke with my wife all the time that I'm a lean strategist, and that just, you know, like I don't tie any of my shoes. I just have to put my shoes on. So I'm going to beat anybody out the door because I have minimal tasks, you know. And that's one thing that, you know, in the golf business, you know, you're always in golf business or maintenance landscaping, you know, how do you get a lot done in little time, right? Every business, that's a benefit too, but with labor, you know, if there's a secret, you know, the person that's doing the labor should deserve to know it, you know, and that's one of the you know, I think benefits of my past that has just taught me how to produce, you know, something that is, you know, visually appealing once we're done. Because things happen, you know, you have to make little tweaks, changes. But if you can have at the end, you know, a shiny object that, you know, appears to be wonderful and has good integrity, there should be no issues with something that's minor that needed to be changed.
Well, I like to think that helps with your mental profit. And that's a huge concept of mine, of I have to get this done or I cannot move on. And then you profit mentally of like, all right, it's off my shoulders. Let's move on.
Oh, yeah. You know, obviously, as a lean strategist, I don't want any lists. AJ, you know, do the lists get long in your weeks as new clients build? Do you find yourself, you know, struggling to keep up with anybody that's in a different state, or have you had pretty good?
Not normally. So, dude, I'm big on strategy. So typically I will look at what number I want to make by the end of the month. And then I create my strategy on how I believe I'm going to pull that off. What are the tasks required? And then I'll block out the time to do that work. And so every single day I open my journal. One of my favorite tools is the Best Self Journal. They've done a great job putting together a journal tool to be able to block your time out, set your goals and all of that good stuff. And just time blocking, man, hour by hour by hour. For me, I crave variety. So every week is different. But really planning out, you know, in order for me to make this amount of money, this is what has to get done this week, and it gets, and then blocking it out and it's done. And 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would have been the guy, like, you know, email or text messages or Voxer messages would have sent me into a tailspin because a client needs this or a client needs that. Now I've just set clear agreements where it's like, hey, we have a call on this day and time. If you cancel your call, then you cancel your call, and I'm not going to really try to find a way to fit you in, because at the end of the day, it's my life, my rules, my time. You respect my time. I respect my time. I respect your time. So we'll set clear agreements. You know, we have a call at Thursday at this time. We have a call at Tuesday at this time. If I have the ability to squeeze them in, I squeeze them in. But if I don't, then is this the next week? And people learn really fast. And that's a way that I guard my time. Because if I don't guard my time, respect myself, clients won't, the world will not. And I just focus on what I can control. So for me, I don't really find myself with a list growing longer and longer and longer. I just, if it does, you know, I add it in. If I can get it done, awesome. And if I can't, I hire somebody to do it or outsource it to somebody on our team.
Hey, AJ, one of the questions I got for you, and it's a big struggle in what I do, I'm curious what your consequences are for people not respecting your time and what you do. And let's say you've set across aside time and you've got only an hour and you've got your next meeting's at 3:05 and their meeting's supposed to end at 3 and they show up at, let's say it's an hour long, whatever, and they show up at 2:20. Is there a consequence for that? Is it monetary? Is it
no.
Lack of time? I mean, how do you deal with something like that on your side? For
yeah, so I address the big elephant in the room right up front. I would be like, hey, Daniel, you and I agreed to meet at noon. It is now 12:20. So I do have a hard stop at 1:00. So instead of us having an hour, we're going to have 40 minutes. So let's get down and dirty. You ready to go? Yes or no? That would have been it. And like I said, I'm a little bit direct. If you don't like it, then don't work with me, you know? And so the people that choose to, this sounds crazy and counterintuitive, and it sounds arrogant the way that I'm talking right now, and I get it. But what's happened is by me talking that way and speaking that way and having that confidence and certainty and planting my flag in the ground or drawing the line in the sand, the clients actually have more respect for me when I do that. Like, it sounds totally crazy. It sounds like, well, you're disrespecting them. I'm not. I'm respecting the agreement that I made with an individual. And I'm not saying they're bad or they're wrong or I'm right or better. I'm just saying we had an agreement.
I don't think any of that is bad at all. I mean, generally, I would just get up and leave and say, listen, everything that we're coaching on and we're supposed to follow, you just broke every rule by being late. So sorry, but exactly. I'm not sorry. There we go.
So one of my favorite communication frameworks for being direct in conversations like this is called CPR. So it's context, possibility, resolution, CPR. Because if I go into somebody's late and I'm like, hey, you're late, da 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 da, blame, shame, blame, shame, blame, shame. Well, now they're going to feel defensive. I'm attacking them and I'm not being respectful. I'm blaming and shaming them. Now, I wouldn't want to be blamed or shamed. But yet at the same time, I do want to be held accountable and I do want to hold them accountable. So I can still start that conversation out. Yo, Daniel, here's the context of what's going on. You showed up at 12:20. You and I had agreement to meet at 12. Is that correct? Yes, that is correct. Cool. I understand, you know, life happens. We got it. Get it. So here's a possibility. Possibility number one is we're just going to totally cancel today and we can reconnect next week and we find a day and time that works for us. Or possibility number two is we just rock and roll for the next 20 minutes or the next 10 minutes to get as much accomplished as we can. How would you, how could you and I work together to resolve this?
Very cool.
What's funny is Tyler mentioned this something to me several months back. We were having an issue with one of our employees and you know, he said you should ask him if they want to have a pineapple conversation. And, you know, it's kind of hard on the outside, rough, but once we get to the inside and in the moral of the conversation, it's going to be nice and sweet. You know, and you know, I think doing that with a client, obviously, first off, when there's an issue like that, you know, biting in the butt would be not only, you know, good for your relationship with them, but just making sure that they know that they have to be accountable.
Yes. And the other part of that is you're honoring yourself. So there's this concept called the drama triangle. It was built in a psychological framework back in 1968 by Cartman, Dr. Cartman, I believe was his name. And so there's three roles in drama. So you have the hero. The hero is all about, like, let me save you, let me take care of you, you know, poor you, let me help you. The victim is another archetype, and the victim is all about the poor me stories, you know. Well, I'm sorry I couldn't meet here at 12 o'clock because the card broke down, this happened, poor me, poor me, poor me. And then the third archetype is the villain. This is all about, like, the FU stories, you know, where we're like the bully, the asshole, right? The bitch. Anytime we're embodying any of those archetypes in the game of business, whether this is with relationships with employees, relationships with clients, relationships with our family, our children, doesn't matter, people, we're in drama. And there is no power in drama. There is no power in me being a hero and be like, oh, it's okay. God bless you. It's okay if you're 30 minutes late. There's no power in that, because ultimately heroes always attract villains and victims into their life. There's also no power in me being a villain. And it's like, hey, didn't you know it? You're 30 minutes late. How dare you? Because they're just going to be the victim and we're going to dance on the drama triangle, me taking the villain role, them taking the victim role, right? And maybe I feel bad eventually and I'm like, oh, you know, but it's okay, let it slide. So now I'm out of the villain role, now I'm in the hero role. We're still dancing in drama. So the whole goal is, number one, become aware anytime that we're playing any of these archetypes, because it's how we grow as a human being. It's how we evolve our soul. It's how we regain our power, become aware. So if we're finding ourselves as leaders where we're in the villain role, oftentimes, sometimes, where we victimize ourselves in our minds and then we've adopted the villain role, the way out of it to get back into power and to be in what I would call love is learning how to become the empathetic aggressor, where I can have empathy for you, but I can also draw a line in the sand because we created a clear spoken agreement. And I'm actually honoring that person by not pulling my punches. I'm honoring them by hitting them, essentially, not physically and not even emotionally, but I'm hitting them with all of my power, all of my confidence, all of my certainty, honoring our agreement. And as a result, they either choose to level up in the organization or they will leave. And this is how we start creating really amazing cultures and companies, is learning to become aware of the dynamics of what roles are people playing? Are they playing in the drama triangle, hero, villain, or victim? And if so, how do they navigate out of drama? Where if they're a hero, learning how to become the caring respecter. If they're becoming a victim, to become aware that they're being a victim and learning to become the vulnerable problem solver. And if we are being the villain, to become aware of it and not embody any of these archetypes, and instead learning how to become the empathetic aggressor. And if we can do that, then we stay in power and we actually lead from love.
It sounds like you're really good at explaining how to break social norms to be better, you know, and then that's, you know, if they can relate it to anything that they've seen on TV or a YouTube video or a movie of some sort, it's more or less like, I know what that looks like, but here's what's actually happening. And that's exactly. Cool. That's cool to hear it in different contexts. I like that.
And the crazy thing is, like, this is the stuff that actually makes people a lot more money and a lot more time and having a lot more freedom. Because without this, they stay in drama and they can't delegate. They don't trust their employees. And so they stay stuck. This is the stuff that actually leads to people's liberation.
Sure.
Very cool. AJ, what's the best way for people to find you on Facebook or on the old internet?
Yeah, on the good old internet, just go to AJAmyx, AMYX.com. And on the good old face space, it's just Facebook.com/AJAmyx, AMYX. Super simple.
We really appreciate you, giving us some of your time today. Towards the end of your day, it's 5:30 there.
Yeah, man, it's 5:30 here. Get to wrap out of the office and just go home and unplug for the rest of the day. So what, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
What's one thing you're going to work on before the end of the year that I can work on?
What's one thing that I'm going to work on that you should work on? Is that the question?
Yeah. Well, how can we both get better before the end of the year?
I know for me specifically, it's laying out our content calendar for the next 6 months and our YouTube strategy. That's the thing that I'm working on between now and the end of the year. Other than that, it's just thinking through for me, what are things I'm going to do that would stretch my faith, like my ability to have trust and respect for myself. Like, I've done 10-day silent meditation retreats in the past, lived like a monk for 10 days. I've done medicine journeys. I've done all kinds of crazy stuff. So for me, it's getting clear on kind of what are these targets that's going to expand my purpose and my passion and my impact on this planet next year. That's going to be mine. Man, that would be my challenge to you on really looking at that outside of the game of business. Business is great, man. But for some reason, as entrepreneurs, we forget to have fun. We forget to set lines in the sand to spend time with our wives and our children. We forget to study and increase our ability to grow as a human being and evolve our soul. And the crazy thing happens is when you do create habits to take care of those things, the byproduct is you actually show up and you make more money in your business.
Very true. Very cool. Tyler, how do we get a hold of you?
We can always go to lopeznewton.com. My cell phone's always open, 520-270-6170. And to touch on what we were just talking about, I just heard in from my coach today, I had a little aha, and it's something to think about too, and we'll probably talk about it more. But there's a book, and the concept is that we grossly overestimate our one-year goals and highly, highly underestimate our five-year goals. So in order for me to be better, I'm working on better on five-year goals, one-year goals, quarterly goals, monthly goals, week goals, daily goals. I mean, we've always got I need to know those metrics a little better, because if I knew I was going to be here and doing the stuff I do now 5 years ago, I would have made the goals twice as big. Right. And I only met them because I made it a goal. But generally, one-year goals are way too big.
That's awesome.
But five-year goals are way too small.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks, guys. Really appreciate both of you for coming on. We, as a company, are going to go out with a pretty strong effort on taking advantage of the trend pop sockets for your phone. We've purchased a bunch of what we're calling poppy sockets, and we're going to offer them to all the new customers we get throughout the new year. Now until we run out of these things, we're going to be featured in a commercial. It's going to be on Saturday nights, 10 a.m., promoting the pop sockets, and obviously service from Poppy Art Solutions for residents and residential and commercial properties. But we're really stoked to be able to take advantage of this little trend and offer something cool. It also has a little thing that you stick to your radio, and you can use it when you're got your GPS on your phone. So it's got some value for life, right? And we're super stoked, and we hope that everybody that wants a pop socket asks for one. But that's kind of our effort that we're going to stand for next year on the, creative marketing along with our referral marketing and all that good stuff. We're going to keep the show going and keep bringing people like you guys on. If you want to reach out to me, you can visit poppyyards.com. Make sure you visit our Facebook or Instagram at Poppy Yards. Like our page. Listen to the podcasts. We really appreciate you guys' everybody's help. Have a great week, and see you next year.
Cool. Thanks, Josh.
Yep. Thanks, guys.